Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Good evening, everybody. We are reading Ephesians 1, 15 to 21. Which is page 1183 in the Pew Bibles, if you would like to join in. So Ephesians 1, starting at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's again, it's great to be with you. Thanks so much, John, for the invite. A few weeks ago, do keep your Bibles open. A few weeks ago, we had what we call the Simpson Birthday Festival. Three kids' birthdays in 3 weeks. It's always a blast and totally exhausting. This year, my parents went big. They like sort of did combined the birthday Christmas presents for like 2025 for the four kids. And they got our kids a 14-foot trampoline, because in our family, go big or go home is less a motto and more a lifestyle. We wanted one of those ones that sort of sits low to the ground. It's a bit more subtle, less chance of the kids flying over the fence into the neighbor's garden, which meant digging a massive hole so it sort of can kind of sit flush with the grass. Simple, right? You go on YouTube, type in, you know, this is the trampoline, the 14-footer one. You know, you see, you get these lovely videos of these cheerful blokes scooping out soft soil as though it was like the middle of a croissant. No problem. I measure out the 14-foot diameter with string. It feels like I'm landscaping a small football pitch. I buy a hippo bag for the soil, named, I assume, for its capacity to consume dreams, and grab my trusty spade. Topsoil, 5 centimeters. Below that, solid clay and that famous Reigate flint. I'd like to say sparks were coming off as my steel blade went into it. There were no sparks. It's immediately clear this is going to take more than a spade. Jeff from church, who once casually built a swimming pool in his garden like it was a weekend craft project, lends me an electric groundbreaker drill. He shows me how to use it. We chip away a little bit, and then I hit asphalt because our house is built on the ruins of an old school. There are layers of brick, sandstone, possibly Roman coins. I don't know. I stopped looking. So I rent a 1-ton mini digger. That thing was glorious. Simon from Scouts hears about the digger and he cancels his Friday plans faster than if I'd said free pizza. We tag team it. He's like digging and I'm like drilling. dig, dig, drill, drill, you know. And one on the drill, one on the digger. What would have taken 10 minutes with a spade, the digger does with a flick of the joystick and a hydraulic shrug. Still took 6 hours, but at least it was 6 hours of man and machine versus all those layers of rubble and sediment, which somehow felt heroic. Does your life sometimes feel like you're using a spade, but you know there's more? Do you ever feel like your life lacks power? Do you ever try looking for power in the wrong places? Like you're desperate for more of God's power in your relationships or your struggles or the complexities of life. Today, I want to talk to you about resurrection power for Christian living. The passage we've just heard reminds us of the explosive, dynamic power available to us if we're following Jesus. Today, you can know resurrection power in your life. And if you're not following Jesus today, I'm so glad you're here, because God has got good news for you. Paul, who wrote this passage, was writing to the church in Ephesus. It's in Turkey near Izmir. You can visit it. I'd recommend a trip to the area if you're in the area on holiday. Ephesus was a major city in the region. It was famous for one of the seven wonders of the world, the temple to the goddess Artemis, the goddess of fertility. Artemis was the focus of their worship, but there were also other gods that people worshiped: the Roman imperial cult, worshiping the emperor as divine, Greek and Roman gods, which were honored through sacrifices, statues, ritual feasts, and games, and mystery cults with occult practices, buying magic scrolls, amulets, and incantations, which claimed to harness power. The Ephesian people would have been spread betting to get any power they could. People looked for power in all sorts of places. People still look for power in all sorts of places. Where are you seeking power or quick fixes in your relationships or finances or progression at work? Where are you trusting in for those things? Some trust in the lottery or horoscopes or just sheer hard work, sacrificing relationships and family on the altar named career progression. It'll be different for each of us. Paul had spent time there and planted a church there in around 50 AD, but he's now in Rome and he's writing to the church, and it's a prayer that the eyes of their heart would know and feel three things. Verse 18, if you look down with me in your Bibles, he says, "My prayer is that the eyes of your heart would be open, that you would know the hope to which God has called them, the riches of the inheritance of Christians, and three, God's incomparably great power for those who trust in Jesus." My prayer for you, John's prayer for you as the vicar, it's the same. Did you notice the order of those three things that Paul prays for them? Do you want the power? You've got to go through the other two things first. You can't circumvent one and two to get to the power. My prayer for you tonight, more importantly, God's desire for you, is that you know the hope to which you're called. You can know hope. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus at Easter, which we celebrated a couple of weeks ago, when you trusted in Jesus, all your sins were washed away. As Isaiah puts it, "Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them white as wool." We usually use the word hope to talk about things we're unsure of, but this is exactly the opposite. This is an assurance about the future because of the resurrection of Jesus. The disciples and Paul had a certainty about the future because they had witnessed their future in front of them. Their future resurrected bodies, they had got a glimpse of when they had that foretaste, when they met the risen Jesus. Jesus showed his disciples his resurrected self. In fact, Paul says, when he's writing to the Christians in Corinth, in Greece, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, have you noticed that verse? Paul writes how Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at the same time, most of whom are still living. If you write that, you expect people to follow up on that outlandish claim. In essence, next time you're in Jerusalem, go back and check that Jesus appeared to those 500 people, because most of them are still living. You'll be able to track some of them down. 500 people can't be hallucinating at one time. Jesus says, you can have hope in the future. You're going to get a new, incorruptible body like I have now, Jesus says. Feel it. Touch hope. Feel hope. This is what's going to happen to you. Your sins, all those sacrifices, they're all dealt with. Trust in me, Jesus says, and know hope. I remember my sister, about 20 years ago, my sister and my dad, they'd just gone to visit my granny shortly before she died. And she was old, she had dementia, she'd gone blind. And the three of them, they were telling us about this, about the hope that they have, that my granny had, because she's going to get that new body. She wasn't that many months away from it. She could have that certain hope. You can have that certain hope. Do you want power? You've got to know the hope first. Are you trusting in Jesus for your future hope? Secondly, Paul prays that these Christians would know the riches of their glorious inheritance. When you trusted in Jesus, you got the most incredible inheritance waiting for you in heaven. The rest of the New Testament tells us what that inheritance is. Ultimately, a perfect new body with no sin and broken relationships. Is anybody else fed up of sin and brokenness in their relationships? And our inheritance is that we'll be in a perfect new creation. And most importantly, we'll get to see God face to face as King and friend. 1 Peter 1 verse 4 tells us our inheritance is imperishable, unspoilable, and unfadable. I said to my wife last summer, I said, you know that, you know, where you get your stuff out of the attic and like out of the like vacuum bags. And I said, can we stop getting those? Like, my wife's got this thing for like cashmere. It's always secondhand cashmere. But I said, can we stop getting the like nice woolen products, because they always just get eaten to shreds by the moths. And then, as I said, we serve in the Middle East. We went abroad and we put all our stuff in my in-law's cellar in big boxes. And we came back and it's all like stopped working. It's like moldy and it's sort of tarnished. Your salvation is more secure than being in a temperature-controlled Swiss bank. Your God-given inheritance doesn't depend on the stock markets or house prices. The smartest arguments, nor the devil himself, can take your inheritance, this salvation, from you. It is guarded for you in heaven right now, the Bible tells us. Are you excited? Do you want power? You've got to get to know the hope and the inheritance first. And when you really know that hope and know that whatever happens, you've got that inheritance coming your way, do you know what happens? You can trust God with your finances, your relationships, your career, you name it, you can trust God. And when you trust God more and more, and you let go of those other things that you are trusting in, just you wait to see God's power in your life. You can know power. when you're more desperate for God in your life than for that bonus at work or that promotion, you're more content. You're more happy. And just see what God does. What's that power? Verse 19 and 20, it says, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to new life and put him at the right hand of God. That's quite a lot of power. That's like the difference between my spade and that digger. Paul uses four terms to describe this resurrection power of Jesus. And they're going to come up on the screen. The four words, and these are the Greek words he uses. The first one is dynamis. Obviously, we get the word dynamite from it. And it's about the idea of potential power. A dynamite stick is full of potential power, potential force. The Holy Spirit living inside of you, as we read earlier in Ephesians, is like a down payment for that future inheritance that you're going to get, your new body in the new creation. Potential power. And then Paul talks about energia, active power. That's like the power that's exerted when that dynamite stick is blown up. The resurrection power of Jesus can do great things in you and through you. And then he uses these other two terms interchangeably, kratos and ischios, which are synonyms. We get the word democracy from them. And the idea is that of the exercise of power, rule, authority, victory. As Christians, we live under Christ's rule. You can know that power. Am I saying life is going to be easy? No, the Bible doesn't promise us an easy life. But the invitation is to seeing God's power in your weakness. I've still got things I'm waiting on God's resurrection power for in my life. There are tensions that theologians talk about. They talk about the now and the not yet. God breaks in now in powerful ways, but not every time. But you'll see more of his power the more you lean into him in dependence and trust. What does this power look like? Do you think you're in control of your career? One of my friends, he's struggled with an injury in a job. He's in the army where his physical health is obviously very important to his job. He's thought he's going to be made redundant a number of times. But in prayer, he's kept submitting himself to God. And he keeps getting promoted. In fact, the other week, we saw them at half term. The other week, he told us the guy who gave him his last promotion turned to him the other week and was like, I don't know why I actually gave you that promotion. But my friend knows why. Because God has called him to that job for this season. He knows why. That's resurrection power. Do you think your finances and calling are entirely in your control? One of my friends, he's a missionary in the Middle East, and he's studying a university degree so he can run a business there whilst he's sharing the good news about Jesus with locals. It's a country where most of the Christians have fled. And he wrote this in a prayer email update last week. He said, last year, I was looking into ways how I could get a residency permit as a foreigner. I just so happened to meet a president of a university. And he heard my story of why I live in the Middle East for the past 9 years and why I'd like to study. And on the spot, he said, you can study here for 25% off our normal price. I said, wow, that's amazing. Yes, what an opportunity. Thank you, Mr. President of the university. And then he said, tell you what, we'll give you 50% off tuition. I said, oh, wow, even better. Okay, thanks. I agreed to the 25%, but I'll take 50% off. Thank you. Then he said 30 seconds later, actually, we'll give you a free ride for 4 years, free. And if you need housing, we can provide that as well. And they offered a private driver as a cherry on top if I needed one. Praise God. Best negotiation I've ever experienced. that felt like God was opening up a door for me to study and obtain a residency permit. Do you think you're in control of your career? Your finances? Your calling? Do you think you're in control of your schedule and meetings? About 10 days ago, my wife and I, we had a meeting at 11:30, it was on Wednesday, at the church. A local ensemble got in touch, and they're wanting to find a venue to partner with to start a new classical music festival thing. That's another God story. But so we turn up a few minutes early for the meeting, and we arrive at church, and one of the women has she opens up the church every Wednesday, and she says, "Oh, Jono and Lucy, meet these three young women from the college, Coolston College. They're all bussed in from probably around here and up to Tooting and Streatham. They come down. Not great relationships between the college and the community." And she says, "These three young women want to find out about Jesus." And one of them, she's got like a hijab on, and she's like, "I want to convert." And I say, "Okay, great. Let's just we have a chat, small chat. We have a little prayer. We pray God's blessing on them." And I say, "Come back. We'll do a Bible study. If you've got some friends, come back. Bring them back." They came back last Tuesday with two more friends. We went for one meeting. God gave us another meeting. Do you think you're in control of your meetings? We're going to read the Bible with them in a week, next Monday. The invitation today is to lean on Jesus. Know hope. Know your inheritance. Know power. The invitation tonight is to get out of the driving seat of your life and let Jesus in and see his power at work. I'm not saying life is going to be easy. Our life has just got a whole lot busier because some teenagers want to read the Bible. My friend out in Iraq, wasn't supposed to say that, his life is not very easy. My friend in the army, is his life easy? No. But are we seeing God's power at work in our weakness? Resurrection power. I want to encourage you tonight to set a faith goal for this year. Do something where you have to trust in resurrection power. Do something bold. One of our friends was praying the other day, and just before Easter, and she said, and she was praying, and she sensed God say to her, "Buy 100 kids' books for John and Lucy to give out at the Easter stall." So she bought 100 of these books. We managed to give out 100 books about Jesus because of her little act of obedience to 100 families in Old Coolston. You probably have baptisms here around Easter. We baptized someone who 7 months ago was not in church, and God has been working in his life, and he's going to do it through Alpha. Who are you going to invite to Alpha? What is that one thing where you can see God's resurrection power through your weakness? You don't need to go to that thing that you're tempted to trust in to find power. His resurrection power is like that digger compared to your tiny little spade. My tiny little spade. Amen. We're going to respond to God now. Should we put our hands out in just a posture of just receiving from God? Maybe you want to close your eyes. Just put your hands out. Just I'm here, Lord. You're kind of saying with your body, God, I'm here. God's here by his Spirit. And God, we just invite you to speak to us. God, I pray that you would speak to every person here. God, we want to see your power in our lives, through us, in us. I think for some of us, we want the power, but we're trying to get to the power without the trusting fully in Jesus bit. And for you, maybe you need to surrender something to God. There's a prayer ministry team. They'd love to pray with you. Don't be shy. I'll be at the back as well. I'd love to pray with you. But maybe God is putting something in your heart as well that you know you need to do. Maybe it's something small. Maybe it's something big. We just started a new home group for men this last week. And my wife she gets up crazy early to pray. And she said, invite that couple for a barbecue on Saturday. And then it became, you know, barbecue for everybody, and they all came. And I made that silly husband thing where I said to her yesterday, I said, was that the right decision? Because, like, it's quite stressful right now because we're hosting all these people. And she said, it's stressful now, but God meant it to happen. And when God speaks to you, don't ignore his voice. Rachel and the band are going to come up and lead us in a song. But can I invite you not to go away tonight without having done business with God? Where do you want power in your life? In those relationships, whatever it is. Let's see God's power. Let's invite him. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.